Welcome to the Manny Podcast, episode 68. Terrell's coughing, but he's here.
Yeah.
Coughing on coffee.
Coughing on coffee.
Man.
Coughing.
It's great.
It's really got caffeine.
It's raining outside. It's a good day. Spring has arrived. And we are continuing our discussion of Chapter 8 of The Divine Conspiracy.
Yes, we are.
Stick with us. You're going to love it.
Woo!
Let's get it on.
Let's get it on. So Jesus tells us what to do. And the question is what he tells us to do best? That's the question. There's no way to get around that question. And you should probably really, really figure out the answer to that question if you're going to call yourself a Christian or a disciple of his. You're going to need to confront that in yourself. I would say probably don't really worry about other people at the moment. Just answer that question for yourself. Because Willard points out there's no good reason for not doing what he said to do. And Jesus himself actually said in Luke 6:46, remember, he was talking to the people. He was like, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And do not do what I say. Even in his day, I mean, he saw it probably all the time. People approached him as a teacher, which he teaches, you know, obviously. That's what we're trying to say. He's the best teacher.
He's the greatest teacher, yeah.
People approached him or saw him merely as a teacher. And then there are people who were really involved in the power games and the politics of that day, and they saw him as a political figure.
Yeah.
Like in fact, the disciples themselves probably thought this for a long time. Because even towards the very end, you know, there was conversations about, well, you know, who's going to be greatest, and then, you know, when will you restore the kingdom to Israel? And when you do that, is there going to be, because so when he was talking about the kingdom, they thought he was talking about like an earthly political realm in which the nation of Israel would be restored to its former and glory and even greater glory.
Right.
I think under his leadership.
Right.
I think that they thought that.
Yeah, I agree.
Thought, you know, we'll follow this guy.
Yes.
Yeah. He's a better guy to follow for the political outcomes I would desire to happen.
Yes. Kind of like the way most of us view it now still.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of that going on right now.
Even though clearly JC...
Well, that's true. He wasn't exactly aiming at a regional power play.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was much bigger than that. However, the possibility still remains that you can actually call him Lord and then not do anything he says to do.
Yes.
This actually used to... I think I got this pretty early on as a kid. I knew what he was saying.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a... The possibility there should make you a little bit uneasy, I think. I think it's probably good that it does.
Yeah.
Because it's possible. However, confidence in Jesus that leads to apprenticeship to him is the way into the community of prayerful love, where what the law and the prophets really said is fulfilled because people actually treat others the way they would like to be treated.
What a great freaking line, dude.
Yeah. But it's confidence in Jesus that will lead one into becoming his apprentice or disciple.
Yeah.
And that is the way into that community. And see, I just wanted to start off by talking about the good stuff for just a second before we get into the simple fact that, like Jesus gives us four pictures that contrast the alternative.
Right.
But man, you know, it really is on the way over here. It's just as simple as that.
Yes.
Just putting your confidence in him above every other option. And there's a lot.
What options?
There were a lot of options when he was preaching this sermon.
Yes, it was.
And there are just as many, if not more, options today. But just having confidence in him will lead to becoming his disciple, which will then lead to you entering into the community of prayerful love, where what the law and the prophets really said is fulfilled, because people actually treat others the way they would like to be treated. That's possible. And I really do think that the widespread nature of all the other options, the pervasiveness of all these trees around us that bear bad fruit, the width of the paths yeah. that are there, and the amount of people who are simply doing things in his name and not knowing him at all. The people that are building their house on everything other than what he said to do. That's happening so much, buddy, that it's hard to even believe that we can enter a community.
Yeah, that there's a different, a different choice
that, like,
altogether. Yeah.
Because I think that there are so many things that are being said or being presented, we can even say marketed, as being a way to be a disciple of Jesus.
Right.
In our day, that it really is, it makes the statements of Jesus seem infantile, naive.
Yeah.
Impossible even, or just, you know, you'll get this a lot. Well, yeah, that's what he said, but it's really more complicated than that. You know,
yeah.
It's not, you know, you gotta, there's a whole lot of other things to, and I get what people mean by that. In fact, I've probably said similar things before to myself or others.
Yeah.
Because there are times in life when things really do seem so complicated that just simple confidence in him doesn't feel like enough.
Right.
But it's still true.
Yeah. It's still true. You enter this kingdom community, Jesus first points out, by a narrow gate. That is, there is a right way to enter, and not just any way will succeed. Verses 13 and 14 in chapter 7 of Matthew. So this is the Sermon on the Mount that we're finishing. Read that again. You enter this kingdom community, Jesus first points out, by a narrow gate. That is, there is a right way to enter, and not just any way will succeed. Not just any way. This tends to offend people, or at least objections are raised immediately at this point. And I understand why. Because of a million ways, it seems, a million options, a million teachers, right? A million interpretations.
Yep.
And so when you think of it from that standpoint, it's a pretty brilliant strategy by the enemy, just sort of death by a thousand cuts, you know? Death by a thousand different teachers. Death by a thousand interpretations.
Yes.
All of these things, man, they make it seem so complicated. And what I love about the divine conspiracy and Willard's exposition of the Sermon on the Mount is that it's just, it cuts through all that freaking noise for me. Makes it very simple, which is what it is. Like, you can enter this thing, and Jesus points out, but you're going to have to do it by, like, there's a single way that is narrow in comparison to the myriad other ways that people will tell you the kingdom of God can be entered into. I'm here to tell you there's only one way, and it's real small. And it being small doesn't mean it's impossible to get through, right? Doesn't mean it's even hard.
Nope.
Just means that it's very precise and it's very clear. And I would advise you to enter that way. And the good news is Jesus is going to teach us how to enter that way. And what we've been talking to up to this point is his teaching on how to enter that way. You know, you get rid of anger and contempt and lust and
manipulation
and unforgiveness and the pursuit of
security,
of glory and money. Wealth, yeah.
Condemnation. Lead them all.
Yeah, you get rid of all of those things. Yep. And you can't do that without being close to him, by the way. So he's the only one who can help you with that stuff. You'll begin to realize that the life that you live in that pursuit is a different one than all the other ways you could do it. Willard writes that Jesus has made a way for us into easy and happy obedience, really into personal fulfillment, and that way is apprenticeship to him. It is Christian discipleship. Jesus' gospel is a gospel for life and Christian discipleship. He's made a way for... I wanted to talk that quote particularly because he says he's made a way for us into easy and happy obedience. Really into personal fulfillment.
It's great.
Well, and he's not just messing around here.
No.
I like to say that because I have no doubt that everybody listening has that's got a grate on the ears a little bit. I really think it does.
Yeah.
Like, or at least they're sort of like, God, that's sweet. You know, it's this, I don't think we realize how often we view or hear Jesus' words as what Willard says before, as just pretty words. You know, like, you know, that was good for him. He must have been a really nice guy. And I want you to see how what you really think about Jesus, like, this is where this stuff comes up. What you really think about him really comes up in these moments whenever you hear things like Jesus has made a way for us in easy and happy obedience, really into personal fulfillment. And you disregard that, or that hurts a little bit to hear that, or you kind of laugh at that even maybe, like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
But there's pushback because your approach to him and what he said and all of the things that he's taught has been just another option, you know?
Yeah.
And by the way that you've lived, not a really good option. Or maybe not a realistic option.
Yeah.
And but the point is, man, is that's true. It's true. And the challenge is to see him and to hear him and to follow him. You know? That's the challenge.
Yes.
In the midst of, in the world filled with all these other options, all these other definitions of the good life and how to get it, all of these other voices and teachers, are you going to enter the narrow gate? Are you going to even believe that there is a right way to live? And that not just any way will succeed. It's not. It won't succeed. That's what Jesus is saying. So, are you going to, can you deal with that?
Can you deal with that?
I don't know, man. You have any thoughts that are stirred up there?
What's really funny is that, and I'm trying to find that actual line, there's personal fulfillment. I actually did a double take on that, funny enough, you know?
Yeah.
Like each time I've read it. It's like, yep. Every time I'm like, am I reading that right? He has made a way for us into easy and happy obedience, really into personal fulfillment. And in that way is apprenticeship to him. It is Christian discipleship. His gospel is a gospel for life and Christian discipleship. And then he follows that up with, in other words, his basic message, rethink your life in the light of the fact that the kingdom of the heavens is now available to all, presents the resources needed to live human life as we all automatically sense it should be, and naturally leads one to become his student or apprentice in kingdom living.
Naturally.
That is the path that he's talking about to personal fulfillment. All this crap with the self-help, like it's not funny, but it's like we've been saying for years, like you laugh or you cry about this stuff, but there's so much wasted paper and time and what people would consider genuine thought about self-help stuff. And I said wasted, and I mean that. And
it's time for somebody to say.
Yeah, and that's not popular. Like, and I get it, and that doesn't sell, and I get that too. And I get that half you people who are selling this shit, and that's what it is, don't even realize you're doing it to sell shit, but that's what you're doing. Stop, please. Because you are perpetuating a cycle of what you think is self-help. But like, you're not choosing this path, so it's going to lead to your ultimate destruction. Because like, you're just creating, you're putting more crap on top of crap, dude. And eventually, it does start to break down because, you know, that's what manure does after, you know, a long time with each other, you know. But God, it smells rancid when you try to dig it up. Ugh, it does. But the point is that I just love that the answer's been there all along. I love that everybody spent so much time, effort, attention, and resources in trying to solve this problem. It's super freaking weird. It's weird.
And they're still trying.
They're still trying, like right now today, you know?
Yeah.
And it's weird. It's weird that it's been around this long, you know? And that it's shit. Anyway.
It'll continue to be around until we do what he says to do.
Yeah. I'll
which is best.
Yeah, I'll stop ranting about nonsense, but it just know that there is a narrow way and there is a wide way.
Yeah.
And if it looks like the wide way, it probably is. If it smells like a wide way, it probably is. If it ain't JC, it ain't JC.
And on that basis alone, it's unwise, to put it mildly, to listen to those who would teach you otherwise.
Yeah, and there's a lot. God, there's a lot of people.
And at the other end of that, it's hellish. Like, it will lead to, like, it will lead to damnation.
Yes.
Like Gehenna, you know?
Yeah.
Which is what Jesus is, he's about to talk about the final judgment. I mean, you know, like, this will lead you, that wide path will end in disaster. It will end in destruction.
Yes.
So, I mean, you can either not take that seriously and continue, and I guess we'll see how the cards, what kind of hand you have to play. But yeah, like, you just
my bet is that you're going to still be looking for something for self-help at some point in time.
But you just don't have to.
Yeah.
The appeal here is that Jesus is the best.
Yeah.
He's the master. You should listen to him. And it would be a life of apprenticeship to him really is a life into personal fulfillment.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yes.
And not only is it just an option to be personally fulfilled, it is the way.
Yes.
Like, it's the way. Like the lasting
only
way.
One. Yeah. Yeah, for
you
sure.
You might be able to, you know, other things might work for a little while.
Sure.
At least appear to.
Yeah.
But the problem is that it has no lasting.
Yeah.
And whenever, and Jesus is about to say this, when the storms of life come, how did that work out for you?
Yep.
Were you able to withstand it? Did your house stand?
Or did it utterly crumble?
Or did it fall because what was revealed to be the most important part of any structure, which is the foundation, you built it on sand instead of rock. Yeah. And man, I love this so much. I think I also kind of was on this kind of thing pretty early on too, of exactly what he's saying, which is, it's true. I love that. I love this, where we're about to get into the four pictorial contrasts. Like, mm-hmm. Jesus actually warns us here,
yep.
and says, here's some alternatives, here's some contrasting ways to look at daily life. And like I said, it was early on, I was on to the fact of, like, I knew what he was saying. I really did. I knew about the build your house on the rock versus build your house on the sand. And the wisdom there was that the structural integrity of that life, that was going to be daily and, you know, monthly and yearly and by the decade and by the lifetime, it was going to be tested by living in just the day-to-day existence of life.
Yep.
And man, that's so sharp. That's just brilliant in and of itself.
It's true.
And I think you'd be lying, everybody'd be lying to themselves if they didn't like raise a glass or tip the cap, you know?
Yes.
To the wisdom of the Lord there, man. Like he's the one.
Yep.
So he warns us about some issues, doesn't he?
Oh, he does.
Four pictorial contrasts. What I want to do is briefly just give the four, and then we can kind of hammer them out one by one. So number one, and again, this is all found in Matthew. This is all found in the Sermon on the Mount, so y'all should all read that. There's a wide path that leads to disaster. And Willard says, like, this is basically, it's very easy to understand what Jesus means here. It's just simply doing whatever I want to do. Like, living a life of just, I'll do what's best. You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of options there.
Yep.
Very wide path. In fact, when you just set out to live a life of doing what you want to do, there's a ton of teachers who can tell you all sorts of different things. But this is actually the path that leads to disaster, and it's something you don't have to do. But nonetheless, people do it and still do it. Number two, there are bad trees and wolves in sheep's clothing, right? So whenever you do choose that kind of wide path, you should probably be aware of the fact that a lot of those people who are teaching you are maybe outwardly, they have an appearance of being gentle or even being wise. Maybe even having what you would deem as like, ooh, that's the fruit I want. Which mostly it's going to be the superficial kind. Like, oh, they have a really large house or they have all these fancy cars.
He makes
this much money a month.
Yeah.
Man, I better do what he says to do.
Yeah, the money trap's a big one.
And but the issue is that on the inside, you know, what? The guy's probably on his fourth marriage. His kids probably hate him and don't ever see him. He's banging his secretary and his housemaid, you know.
Yeah.
All of this stuff is bad. He's got bad fruit, uh-huh. you know. Maybe he's trying to say he's a fig tree, but he's really just a thorn bush. There's nothing real there. And, or he's just straight up, you know, he's a wolf, man.
Yeah.
He's out there to charlatan, right? Is the old fashioned term, which I love so much. He's just trying to make money off you. Yeah. That's it.
I like those. You can use the example of those devil's vines. I don't know what those things are actually called, but
that's what they're,
they are both, they fit both the descriptions because
they're the worst.
Because they're the worst.
Yep.
They will attack you and they will just not bear fruit.
Nope.
They do both.
Nope, they're just there to destroy.
Spread their seed, though, for damn sure.
Yep. Number three, you're going to find doing things for him or in his name instead of knowing him. It's possible to live this kind of life. And Jesus warns, let's not do that, okay? Don't just do things for me or in my name as if somehow, you know, you have my endorsement or I led you to do or to say such and such. Because at a certain point, we're going to have an actual conversation about that.
Gosh, dogs, man.
And, you know, I'm gonna have to be the one that tells the truth because I can't lie, even if you're a liar. And I'm going to be like, look, man, like we never really knew each other. All right. Pretty early on, I kind of knew. I had an intuitive sense of what he meant by this, too. And I think everybody should because he's being very clear.
Yeah, pretty clear.
Doing things in the name of Jesus or for Jesus is not the same thing as knowing Jesus. It's a pretty concise way of saying it.
Yes.
Knowing him is the important thing.
Yes.
Not the doing of deeds in his name or you know, building orphanages for him.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway. Number four. The fourth pictorial contrast of kind of, you know, let's not do this, guys, is just disregarding what he says to do altogether. So then it's possible to live a life where you're just like, yeah, whatever. Nah, I'm going to listen to, you know,
pick a name.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to listen to, Jordan Peterson. I'm gonna build my life based on what he says is best.
Yep.
Can you think of anybody else here?
Oh, there's like a million, like yeah. Any influencer.
Or just, hey, you know.
That is actually articulable.
Joe Blow, pastor.
Yeah. Yes.
On, you know, at the nonprofit organization for him as a church you go to.
Yes.
And I'm gonna listen to him.
And all
he's
these,
going to, all he's these going to be the one.
Yeah.
And I think that the thing is that Jesus is, this is kind of, it's time to get real about this, guys, you know?
Yep.
Because it's, I mean, this is going, like, this bill's going to come due at some point.
Yes.
Just is, man. Or the storms of life are going to come. And then is everything going to fall down? And when it does, there's no need to even, like, be surprised by that.
No.
Because Jesus said a really long time ago.
I have a promise.
That's the math.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Yep.
There are people out there that look, they seem like really nice and they volunteer at the church building and they do all sorts of things, but you know, really they're wolves.
Yeah.
And this isn't just, you know, this is men, this is women. Everybody.
Yeah.
Nobody's exempt from this kind of destruction.
Yeah.
You know? So that's on that side. And I'd like to keep hitting on that, man. This is from the book. Jesus warns against those who would mislead us, those who look good, but inwardly, where we know the real action lies, are governed merely by their own desires. Outwardly, they look like sheep, but inwardly, they are only thinking about eating sheep, that is, using us for their purposes. These are the ones Jesus' other little brother, Jude, described as caring for themselves, following after their own desires, speaking arrogantly and flattering people to gain advantage. Jude verses 12 through 16. All one has to do to identify those who would mislead us is watch what they do and pay little attention to what they say. What they do will be the unerring sign of who they are on the inside. Trees and plants manifest their nature and their fruit. Figs by bearing figs and not grapes. And what people do reveals, when thoroughly and honestly considered, the kind of person they really are. You know, this doesn't seem hard to understand. But yeah, I've always thought that this was pretty self-explanatory. But again, we live in a really strange world where this is also the plain teaching of Jesus here is really, really disregarded and often, you know, almost as if like that's actually not true. Like, yeah, that person did that, but he's really a sweetheart. No, man. No. If you produce what you do is who you are.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So,
which once again, like the beauty of that is that you don't have to continue being that, you know,
or listening to the person
doing that.
That's the point here.
Well, and even them, they don't have to continue being that person.
No, not if they listen and do what Jesus said to
them. But if they continually do the thing that is in fact who they are, you know.
Yes.
And it's not wrong to make a decision about what you're going to fill in your life by seeing the fruit of another person. That's making a decision. Mm-hmm. That is judging properly.
Yes.
That is not you making the decision for their condemnation, which we've already covered. And this is where becoming a disciple actually makes a difference, because you can choose properly with love as to not let specific things influence your life.
No, that's exactly right.
And it's not condemnation. It is judgment of a good tree and a bad tree. Just like when you eat an apple and it's either rotten or it tastes like an apple for you should, well, and you continue to eat the apple.
Yeah.
Or now, don't continue to eat a bad apple. Nobody would do that. And I think that's where JC's going with this whole thing, you know.
Or like walking to the devil's vine and expecting an apple.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. Like, yes. You're, you know.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's its nature.
Yes.
So don't look at that thing and be like, you know, one day, you're saying you're an apple tree, man, and it's going to happen.
Yep.
You know? And then you reach out to grab the apple and you get the thorn.
Yeah.
And then you get upset. It's like, and see, this is the point. Like, it's not even, why? It would be ridiculous and idiotic to condemn the devil's vine for being what it is. Like, it just is that.
Yes.
The weird thing and the wrong thing is to look at that and expect anything different.
Yes.
I mean, it's wisdom, you know? I like what you point out. Like, being a disciple of Jesus allows you gives you the opportunity and wisdom to actually discern and properly judge the material around you.
Correct.
And so therefore you can make life decisions based on wisdom. Wow. This is, I'm going to not do what that person said just because the fruit of their life is not good fruit. Golly.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would have taught this and wrote this down.
Yeah. It
would have been very helpful, wouldn't it?
Very helpful.
He goes on, those to be trusted are the ones who actually learn to do what Jesus taught was best. Calling him Lord or even doing astonishing things in his name are no substitute. The one who enters the kingdom of the heavens is the one who does the will of Jesus' Father in the heavens. The will of the Father is precisely what Jesus has been teaching here on the hillside, the real meaning of the law and the prophets. The one who hears him and does what he says accordingly builds the house of his or her life to be totally indestructible. The house is built upon a rock, not upon sand, where the winds of life will knock it down. And all this is to say, in plain contemporary language, just do it. For he knows that in any case in which we do not just do it, we are, to that extent, exempting ourselves from the blessed reality of the kingdom. We are exempting ourselves from the blessed reality of the kingdom. Jesus isn't, he's not condemning anybody here. He's not pushing anybody aside. He's not even saying, it's impossible for you. What he's saying is, it's very clear. I'm going to tell you how to live and the best information and like the way to enter in to the community of prayerful love, and you'll either do it or you won't. And if you do it, guess what? Like, your reality will be a blessed one, and your life will be built into an indestructible kind of life. And like, or you won't, and you'll get destroyed just by virtue of the simple fact that you've exempted yourself from this whole process.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you'll have Lewis says, like, there's no in the slip of the tongue. Like, we'll have continued and repeated help when we set to it, you know?
Yes.
But he's like, I have no, there's no guarantee of help if we don't.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, there just isn't. And nobody should expect that. Like, because you wouldn't, look, dude, like if there was something that somehow I could help you with, any number of things, and it was clearly like something you needed help with, like you needed my help. But then you just, like, you just continue to attempt to do it over and over and over again and just failed and failed and failed because you just didn't ask for my help. Like, I it's just as simple as that. Like, the moment that you're like, hey, man, I just really use your help here. We get home, we get it done together.
Yeah.
But, like, it won't get done unless you do it. Like, it's just, it's amazing to me. It's that easy, dude. Like, this stuff is not hard to understand. Just, he's there.
Yeah.
He's available. He is, like, the one.
Right.
The master, the teacher, himself.
Yeah.
So what are you doing, you know?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Build your house on the rock. Stop exempting yourself from the blessed reality of the kingdom. I love this. The narrow gate is not, as so often assumed, doctrinal correctness. The narrow gate is obedience and the confidence in Jesus necessary to it. We can see that it is not doctrinal correctness because many people who cannot even understand the correct doctrines nevertheless place their full faith in him. Moreover, we find many people who seem to be very correct doctrinally but have hearts full of hatred and unforgiveness. The broad gate, by contrast, is simply doing whatever I want to do. Like, yeah. Today there's a lot of, there has always been a lot of this, but there's a lot of vocal stuff there on the internet about how, you know, you got to get the, salvation is a math problem.
Yep.
That, you know, salvation is a doctrinal issue.
Yeah.
The narrow gate means doctrinal correctness. I think you're going to get a lot of that.
Yeah.
A lot.
It's kind of all that everybody really talks about. I love this simplicity. And you're going to arrive at this conclusion when you read JC. Confidence in Jesus is necessary. We can see that it is not doctrinal correctness because many people who cannot even understand the correct doctrines nevertheless place their full faith in him. Yes.
Well, man, I'll just put it out there like this. If entering the narrow gate meant you got to get all your ducks in a row doctrinally,
yes,
Jesus would have said it. He would have taught it. Right?
Yeah.
And the apostles would have taught it.
Right.
But they didn't. In fact, they went to great lengths to get rid of the crap of, no, you've got to become Jewish first, or you've got to circumcise your kids, or you've got to, you know, you got to do all of these things and then you're saved. That's that through the narrow gate. No, man. No, like Paul actually said, like may they curse of God be upon them. If anybody comes and preaches another gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but yeah. Like, it's just that's a really remarkable thing coming from Paul when you think, yes, about it.
It's true.
Because there was nobody on the friggin' planet who thought that the way to salvation was through doctrinal correctness more than that guy at one point in his life. So much so he was willing to kill people over their incorrect doctrine.
Right.
I mean, so.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. It's about as far down that hole as you can go.
You can't really get more zealous
yeah.
for the traditions of the fathers, is the way Paul describes it, than he was.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, just, yeah, the narrow gate is obedience. I think that's a really good way.
It's obedience.
It's just.
Yep.
It's perfect. It's just true.
The fruit of the good tree is obedience, born only from the kind of person who have come to be, quote, the inside of the tree in his fellowship. The wolf in sheep's clothing is the one who tries to fake discipleship by outward deeds, but then inward realities overwhelm him or her. The will of my Father is the very thing that Jesus has just gone over in his discourse. Doing what he said, beginning from believe on him whom God has sent, we step into the flow of God's ways. We enter the kingdom of the heavens. Naturally, we will also enter into its next phase, its fullness marked by the end of human history and the final settling of accounts. I love this one, man. All of this is the same as saying that in actually doing what Jesus knows to be best for us, we build a life that is absolutely indestructible on the rock. And the rock was Christ. And then he goes on to just say all the apostles teach this exact same thing. One of inward transformation by discipleship to Jesus. Like, obedience is the gate. It's the way. And that obedience to Jesus will lead to inward transformation of your heart. No other way will do it. You know? And that's what he says. Like, the deeds of the law naturally flow from a life of obedience to Jesus. You won't have to worry, everybody out there, of a bunch of people being lawless when they're following Jesus. This is Paul's whole freaking point in Galatians. This is his point. When he looks at Peter and he looks at the other Jewish people and he's like, what are you doing? You were eating with Gentiles, now you're not. What's the way?
Yeah.
What's the way? You know? And he stands up and he's like, we are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners by nature. And I gotta love that. I mean, I gotta believe there was sarcasm in Paul's voice when he's saying
gotta
this.
Be.
Like, yeah, look at us. You know, we're the big bad Jews. We're out here just naturally we're righteous, right? That's what they thought.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, we're the chosen ones. Sure, you know, there's some pedigree there. I get it. Yeah. The Messiah came through your people. That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
And Paul says, yeah, there's some advantages there. I'm not saying there's disadvantages to being a Jew. We had a front row seat to the grace of God.
Yeah.
But he's like, but even us, we seek to find our righteousness in Christ, not via works of the law.
Yeah.
Because by works of the law, no flesh will be justified. That's true, is what he's saying. Like, guys. Like, there's something has changed here. We all know it. Even us Jews know it. Like, this is not the way. The way is not, the narrow gate is not doctrinal correctness here.
Yeah.
It is literally obedience to Jesus. And that's what he says. He says, if us in our pursuit of justification by faith in Jesus are called sinners, right? Which is what was happening. Those came from Jerusalem, from James, and they were like, sinners. You're eating with Gentiles. That's against the Torah, which it was, by the way.
Yes.
It was. By definition, they were breaking the law. They were.
Yeah.
So this is what people don't get. And Paul is like, no, we're not. That should blow your freaking mind.
Yeah.
It should blow your mind. It should blow your mind. Because Paul says, no. Actually, no. We're found to be sinners. But what does that say? He brings up the real point. Which is the Messiah then? Is Christ then an aider and abettor of sin? Meaning, like, because he's the one by his Spirit leading us into table fellowship with the Gentiles. He's the one.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying here. This is a rejection of Jesus. That's how, and guys, it should always come down to that.
Yeah.
It should always come down to that. The way, like, you can live a life today and listen to people who literally are leading you to a path of destruction by virtue of one thing and one thing only, not listening to Jesus, not obeying him, nothing else. Like, it's a way that leads to ultimate destruction because you're not listening to Christ.
Yeah.
And there's no reason not to do what he said to do.
Right.
There's no reason. And when you follow him, You're not going to become a worse person. It's not going to happen. No, it is the only way to personal fulfillment.
Yeah.
It is the only way to righteousness. He is the only way to where the deeds of the law naturally flow.
Yeah.
Like naturally flow.
Right.
It'll no longer be a life of like, well, I'm not going to do this because I'm afraid of the consequences. Dude, it's a life of literally like there are like you have dikaiosune, like you have righteousness coming to you from him through you to the point where it's not even about do this, don't do that anymore. Like it's literally freedom, which is Paul's whole description. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This is about for freedom he set us free, which he goes on in Galatians to talk about. The whole point is that. And like he said, the law is not the cause of personal goodness, as we have said before, but invariably the course of it. Like, it's just what will naturally happen to those who have become apprentices of Jesus. Naturally is the right word to say. Naturally. You know? Mm-hmm. Because we have put off the old man and put on the new man, Paul says in Ephesians. If it weren't just that possible, they wouldn't have taught it.
Right.
But that's what they taught, folks. That's what they taught. So are we going to come to grips with what was actually taught? Or are we going to keep doing weird theological exercises in futility? You know? I mean, that'll still keep going on. But as a Manny community, I would just hope that we stop. Like, just stop. Stop making it weird. Stop making it hard. It's not. Yep. Follow Jesus today. Where you are, with the material of the day, during your work day today, during your drive time today, during your family time today, during Pumpsville, all the good stuff.
Yeah.
Like just be with him. You know, follow his spirit. Yeah, man. Which is exactly what he goes on to say in John 14. Like how do I actually do it? You know?
Yep.
And we'll get to that. We'll get to that. We'll keep going.
Yes.
Any closing words of wisdom, old boy? I think you have. You definitely have some.
I don't know.
You do. I see it. You can't
be a middleman.
Don a mustache like that and not have some final nugs.
Yeah. No, I think that's pretty well covered.
I agree. I
think we got it.
Sweet. So, we'll talk to you next week. No, maybe not. Because you won't be here.
Oh, yes. No, next week.
It's too bad. Yeah. Maybe we can record one in advance.
Maybe.
I think we should probably do that.
Maybe.
All right. Peace out.
Bye.